There you go. Now I'm now on, and I. Okay, I'll start again. I'll rewind the tape. Okay. This Saints for 2017 is a time when we begin to move into things, and change is taking place. 2016, we felt very much a time of preparation with an anticipation. At 2017, significant things were going to happen. Now, you didn't need to be a prophet to basically to say some of that. Obviously, with the whole thing of Brexit, with the whole thing of the elections in America, with Donald Trump, all those sorts of things that are going on around the world, you didn't need to be a prophet to say 2017 was going to have some significant moments in it, good and bad. But a real sense that God is doing things, and it's very interesting to hear how, even here in various ways, you're going through changes. And we in our community back in Arran are similar. We're going through a number of changes. And when I've been traveling around, that has been the general. So just to know that you're kind of in the flow of what God is saying and doing, there is a fresh wind blowing. And I believe that God is wanting to us to understand things, that this is our day. This is our day of opportunity. Now, I know that every day in that sense is our day. But there's a real rising of a tide of what God is saying and doing. And just simple things, when you think of things like the big church day out that's happening. You know, very honoured that that would come out of our community down on the south coast with Tim Jupp coming out. You know, 25,000 people meeting over a weekend to worship God. That's something significant. 12,000 people camping over that weekend. That's significant. And now moving into the north of England as well. And things are beginning to happen. And now, in actual fact, that's the biggest Christian event in the whole of Europe. And God is saying new things to us, gathering people together. And it was very interesting to me that Tim had the initiative to gather almost every single, he invited every single major leader of major streams in the country. And every single one of them responded to turn up at that meeting and for people to be praying for them. Now that is a significant gathering together. When you realize that the Catholic Church usually has a conference of 2,000 people, they've scrapped it and said, no, we're going to be part of the big church day out. Things are happening in the church. God is doing things in significant ways. People like Justin Welby, who has said, we want to throw our weight into the big church day out. Things are happening. We want to be part of it. And so they've encouraged all of their ministers to join in it. The Roman Catholic bishop has sent an edict out to all his priests to say you are to make the big day out a priority. But please, I'm not just plugging the big day out. What I'm saying is something is in the wind. You understand what I'm saying? That what is happening is God is breaking down things, breaking down barriers, and enabling people to stand together. Very interesting that if you were to ask them all to stand together in theology, you probably wouldn't get one of them gathering. But if you ask them to stand together, let's worship the Lord, and I believe that's where it starts. Let's face it, any unity we're ever going to have has to come about with the evidence of the presence of God. Of God among us. It's not going to come about by men simply saying, well, it might be a good thing, let's get together. It is the breath of the Holy Spirit. It is that presence of God that is causing people to understand that we need each other in these days, and that we have actually a voice when we stand together and speak together to bring about change. And so I want to look a little bit at today, just on that whole issue of what does it mean for us as a people, individually, in families, and corporately, to be living in a supernatural way, to be living in the power of the Holy Spirit. and something which goes beyond just simply our gathering here on a Sunday morning, but is part and parcel of who we are and what we are, and it's our DNA to be a people who recognize that we move and live and breathe and have our being in a different dimension, the dimension of the supernatural. For everyone who is born again of the Spirit of God, you have the ability to move in the realm of the supernatural. We could get, that's one person who recognizes that. Okay, fine. Now we need to understand, see, let me say it again. We have the ability, every one of us, to be moving in the realm of the supernatural. Much better. So we begin to understand that God has done a work in our lives in moving us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, into the kingdom of His dear Son. That's the power of the gospel. When you knelt at the cross and forfeited your rights, gave up your rights, and acknowledged that Jesus was the Lord, you were translated from one kingdom into another kingdom. And the Bible describes that as the kingdom of His dear Son. That is where we live. That is our place today. It isn't just for the preachers, it isn't just for the evangelists, it isn't for those who move in healing, it's for everyone who is born again of the Spirit of God. So every one of us, the dynamic that is ours as we enter into a relationship with Jesus is that God translates us into a totally different realm where the gifts of the Holy Spirit are to be working, not just on Sunday mornings, but every day of the week as we move around and have our being. Okay? And what we have done is we began to kind of put that into this box over here. That's not for us. No, no, no. That is a lie from the enemy. Praying for the sick is not just leadership's responsibility. You can pray for the sick. You can have words of knowledge. You can have words of wisdom. You can move in faith. God is enabling us to function as a body so that we might truly be salt and light. God is wanting for us to be the city set on a hill whose light cannot be put out. God is wanting for us to be naturally supernatural and supernaturally natural. What we don't want is a people who are odd. The church has got enough odd people. All right? And if you travel like me, you meet a number of them who are really the oddbuds. Now, please don't misunderstand me. You know, yes, we're different. And we need to be different because we're born again of the Spirit of God. But there are some people who are just odd. You know, you've met them, I've met them. Some of these people who seem to have a direct line with God, that in every moment of the day, they are hearing the voice of the Lord. I question it. You know, the Lord told me to do this, the Lord told me to do that, the Lord told me to do this, and the Lord told me to do that. And the Lord, I don't think, in fact, it gets so bad with something, my grace says to me something, I don't think I'm a Christian. I said, what do you mean, darling? She said, well, I don't hear like they hear. I'm going, you don't hear because you are actually walking in the right way. You often hear God when you're walking in the wrong way. Now please, that doesn't mean to say you don't hear God, alright? But we used to, in the Pentecostal churches, we used to get right and left prophecies. These were the prophecies on Sunday mornings. And the Lord would say unto thee, do not move to the right, nor move to the left, but keep on straight with the Lord. Biggest load of rubbish that's ever brought out to the church. Now, the thing is, listen, if I am walking with the Lord in the right direction, He doesn't need to say to me, leave me the right or the left, does He? Because I'm walking in the right way. Often, actual fact, is when you begin to veer off course, God has to say to you, excuse me, straighten up. Now, I do want to hear the voice of God. Please don't misunderstand me. But there's a kind of super spirituality that we think that we're impressing people if we live in this kind of way. God in heaven help us, because the world just thinks we're a bunch of nuts. They do. They do. We ought to be the most normal. You realize that in actual fact, what we need to realize, Christians are the most normal people on the face of the earth. Why? Because they're living how God created them to live. Okay? Anything outside of that is abnormal. Because right from the beginning, God created man in his own image that he might walk and talk with them. All right? So God is at work. God is among us. You know, in Romans chapter, I'm going to go through some scripture, so just to back up what it is that I want to say. Because I want us to understand who we are and what we have in Christ. Okay. Romans 6 and verse 17 and 18. Thank God, once you were slaves to sin, but now you wholeheartedly obey this teaching we have given you. Now you are free from your slavery to sin. You have become slave to righteousness. Realize this, that in coming to Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. Well, that went down like a pork chop in a synagogue. Come on now. Realize this. This is a radical message to the church, isn't it? That Jesus has come and set us free from the power of sin. And the Bible says, he whom the Son sets free is free. That is the lifestyle that God is looking for us to know. The other thing is, found in John 13 and 35, if we can have a look at that. I just want to lay some foundations as to how we are and the kind of people that we need to be. John 13. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. The Bible says, how shall men know that we are his disciples? Because we perform miracles? No. Because Jesus said, in fact, there are those who will do miracles, but they're not of me. So the evidence of who we are as the people of God is what? Is that we actually love one another. That's simple enough, isn't it? You can't get it any simpler than this. By this, shall we be known to be the disciples of Jesus is that we love one another. That's, you know, if you were going to write a treatise and say, what is the success story? You wouldn't put it that way. You go, no, well, in actual fact, what it is, we just love one another. Is that right? I can hear music. Somebody else. Okay. I'm going to say, all of a sudden, I can hear something else. I didn't think it was the angels, but, okay. Hallelujah. So we need to understand that we're told to love one another. But there is a powerful scripture, isn't there? In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 43, and it says this, you have heard the law that says love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. And then the scripture also talks about in the whole thing of the Lord's Prayer, which actually, in fact, of course, is not the Lord's Prayer at all, is it? I mean, it's actually the Lord teaching us how to pray. We called it the Lord's Prayer, but in actual fact, this is Jesus said, this is how you pray, all right? Our Father who is in heaven, and so on. And then he goes on to say about forgiving. And he says, you will not be forgiven if we don't forgive. Okay. And so God is bringing about a people who understand what it is to know and to live in forgiveness. Bible talks about, as we begin to understand those things, as we begin to move in those things, it says in Matthew 6 and 14, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sin. God is wanting for us to understand, to live in the realm of the dynamic, the realm of the supernatural, that it is absolutely essential. It vibrates with the truth of the fact that in actual fact, unless you forgive, you will not be forgiven. That's a powerful. That is powerful. Because a number of people say, well, I'll say sorry if they say sorry. But the gospel of the kingdom is bigger than that. The gospel of the kingdom says, no, you say sorry. Yeah, but you don't understand. Look, they've done me wrong. Yes, they may have done. They were unkind. Yes, they were. They treated me badly. Yes, they did. So what is it got to do? Forgive them. There is power in forgiveness. We're living in a world that will not forgive. We're living in a world where nation will not forgive against nation. We're living in a world tension, even when Jesus says peace. But he has given us peace. He says, I give you my peace. Not that the world gives, it's my peace. And the world, I give it, and the world cannot take it away. So we are called to be a people who live in the supernatural realm of forgiveness, of peace, of freedom from the power of sin. So we need to understand that in this whole area where we are seeing fractured families, we want to see God working in supernatural ways. Some of you heard my story, but it's worth telling again. Because we are a people who live with the power of the Holy Spirit every single day, which is not just manifested from here, but manifested in our day-to-day living to see God at work in supernatural ways. So some friends of ours, they have two children. One is autistic, the other one is Asperger's. And they went to Asda's for shopping. When they're in Asda's, they're going down the shopping line, they get all their groceries and they come to the till to go through the buzzer, you know, the dit, 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 as they do it. And all of a sudden, Mum realised that the two boys are ready to kick off, as those with Asperger's and autism are prone to do. But what she found was that if she would hug them, that would calm them down. And so what happens is all of a sudden these two boys are getting a bit uptight. So Mum says, with the groceries going through the counter, okay, family, we need a hug. So Mum and Dad get the two boys. They all stand in the aisle. They all put their arms around each other and they have this family hug. And here we are. But the lady behind the counter doing the beeping goes, I would like a hug. So the family said, well, why don't you come out and join us? So she gets out behind the counter and she joins this family and they have a family hug. So they all have this hug. So they go out the shop with their groceries. They come back the next week and a staff member approaches Joe and says to Joe, are you the hugging lady? So she goes, pardon? Are you the lady who gave the hugs? And she goes, yeah, well, I guess I am. Can you give me a hug, please? So she gives the lady a hug. So they say goodbye to her, then they start walking down the gangway, and as they're walking down up the aisle, a lady comes up to another staff member and says to Joe, are you the hugging lady? She said, yes, I am. So he said, okay, fine. She said, can you give me a hug? Yes, I will. So she gave her a hug. Here we are now in Asda's, we're into hugging. And so what happens is this lady who says, can I have the hug, starts to cry. Do you know, some people, all they need is somebody to touch them on the shoulder. Some people, all they need is a smile and a kind word. And what we don't realize is we possess supernatural power that actually brings about change even by the way we smile at people. I don't want to bring it down so that it's low. What I don't want to do is have it so high that none of us can ever reach. In other words, there are things that we can do in the realm of the supernatural that are every day that actually touched by a supernatural God bring about transformation in people's lives. And it may be a smile. It may be a kind word. It may be the fact that you say good morning or good afternoon, but you can change people's worlds. as we begin to understand that we move in the realm of the supernatural. And so God is at work. You know, Grace and I made a policy that whatever we would do when we moved into our block of flats, that we would make sure that we would say good morning or good afternoon to everybody. That was our policy. And so we walked to every, always walked towards people, never walked away from them. If we discerned that they were busy, that was fine. It was good morning, okay, fine. And if they wanted to talk, then we'd stand and we'd talk. That we did that. Because blocks of flats can be very, very anonymous places to live. But we wanted to be able to communicate. And so we began to do that. And then it was very, very interesting. We had a phone call from one of our neighbors and said, can Grace come and talk to my, to Phyllis? That was his partner. And so Grace went across to Phyllis. Phyllis fell into Grace's arms, sobbing. Okay. And what happened was that Phyllis' sister had died of cancer, and so obviously she was distressed, so she falls into Grace's arms, and Grace gives her a hug. Some people just need a hug. That's all they need. They don't need no fancy words. Sometimes you, actual fact words can spoil the moment. You actually need to allow the Holy Ghost to do what he's good at doing. So then Grace said to her, would you like me to pray for you? Yes, please. And so Grace prays for this couple, speaking peace into their lives. And then when that's over, Les says to Grace, you know, you and Norman, you're like the padre of Emma Brooke Court, aren't you? Right. See, you don't have a church to be a pastor. You just have to care for people. Just care for people. There's a load of people out there just need caring for. That's all they need. And so what we've done is we've created a community. People will tell you that it's changed in Emma Brooke Court. Why? Because we invited people into our flat when we first moved in. Because everybody's nosy what your flat looks like as opposed to what their flat looks like. You know, you work with the culture, and our culture is very nosy. Aren't we? Yeah, you are. You're a nosy bunch. We are all the same. We are. We're a nosy bunch. And so we knew that. We knew that people wanted to see because they'd seen builders come in and decorators come in and furniture going in, and they wanted to see what it all looks like. And so we invited them to supper. And they, you know what they said? They said, we all kind of nod to each other, but this is the first time we've all sat together at the same time in a room together. Nobody's ever done that before. Well, then, of course, we moved on a bit since then. So now we have an annual barbecue. And so we have an annual barbecue. I do the meat because I hate burnt offerings. And I can't deal with those fatty burgers that are horrible, you know, terrible. I spend more time in flame than anything else. And all that sort of stuff, I hate it. And so anyway,
and burnt sausages.
So I do the barbecuing. They bring the salad. So we have the salad and we have desserts and things like that. And so it's bring salad, bring desserts, bring your drinks. They usually bring bottles of wine enough to float a battleship. And so we go, okay, fine. You know, just let's come and let's celebrate. And everybody turns up. They all turn up. Want to celebrate. Let's celebrate. So God is at work in a supernatural way. It's not difficult. To be honest with you, it's not difficult. Okay. What I found more and more, is that in a lot of people's homes, especially, may I say this carefully, for those who are of ethnic origin, you are given to hospitality. You understand it. Forgive us who are not. All right. And I say that in a general term. But the one thing that's touched Grace and me more than anything else, we've been into the poorest homes in Africa and India, but you would be given some food. You would be welcomed into the home, and you would be given, that's part of the culture. Wouldn't dream of letting you go away. Our problem with our Asian neighbours when we lived in King Fawn's Road was never getting into their house. Our problem is we could never get out. They wouldn't let us out. We got in, was great, and I tell you what, I was really thrilled, because I used to speak in a loud voice. On Saturdays, when we're doing the garden, my neighbour's Asian was cooking lunch and all that sort of thing. The smells were really great. So in a very loud voice, I said to Grace, Barbara's cooking again. I'd say it loud so that she might hear me, you see. And it was very deliberate. And so sure enough, half an hour later coming, I've got some food for you. Oh, thank you very much, Barbara. No. It worked every time. Every single time it worked. And I loved it. But the problem was, that never. The only thing was, they ate so late at night. Do you eat late at night? They ate very late at night. And so, but the problem, we go into the house, we couldn't get out till 2 o'clock in the morning. You've got to kind of stay, please stay, have food. It's all, because it's all around food. Judge, we could learn something about that. There's something about eating and drinking together. Amen. There's something about opening up your home. There's something about the fact of called the presence of God. And so what happened was when I worked in a very exclusive bank in London. I never realised how exclusive it was until I left it. It was one of those things where God kept me blissfully ignorant. And because I was the only person who lived in a government house. I was the only person whose dad was a blue collar worker. I was the only person in East London. You know, all those sorts of things. I was the only person who went to secondary modern school, didn't go to grammar school. All those sorts of things. You know, you realize that's how posh this bank was. I mean, it was a posh, posh bank. The guy I worked with used to go home to St. James's Palace for his lunch because his father was an equerry to the Duke of Edinburgh. It's that kind of level. Okay. It's really funny. And so, I want to reach my people. I want to reach them somehow. And so we invited people, didn't we? Now we had two rented rooms and a shared bathroom and toilet. That's all we had. And sometimes all we had was egg and chips. That's all we had. And so we invited people to come on a Monday night and have dinner with us. That's all we did. Now they had to make a journey from Liverpool Street, and if ever you travelled from Liverpool Street, they all went past where I lived into Gidea Park. That's where all the posh people lived. So anyway, so they'd come on a journey and have egg and chips with us. I mean, why would you want to leave work and go and have dinner with somebody for egg and chips? Okay. But do you know what? It got so popular, I had people lining up and saying, is it my turn this Monday to have dinner? And do you know what it was? You know what they all said? They all said the same thing. There's a peace in your flat. I would call it, there's a presence. And we sometimes are unaware of the fact that we carry a thing called presence. And it speaks peace to people. And it blesses people. Right? When we're walking through crises, sometimes the world is looking to see, how do you handle the crisis? Not, why doesn't God do miracles? In actual fact, what people are looking at is, does your God come through in the pain and in the difficulties and the unanswered questions? Now, I want to see miracles. But church, we've got to live in the dynamic of our God, who is the Lord of all creation, and acknowledge the fact that we can walk through this world by the power of the Holy Spirit and live in a way in which he created us to live, which was a supernatural life story. Numbers of times I've asked people, I've said to people, you know, who are those? Who are those in full-time ministry in this church? You know, get the same old answers, don't you? Who are the full-time ministries in this church? Everyone. But you'll go, see, you've been taught. But you go to church after church after church, and what will they say? They'll say the pastor or the worship leader. In other words, somebody who's salaried by the church. No. Excuse me. Every single one of us are in full-time ministry. And if you're not, this morning is the opportunity for you to repent. All right? Because you cannot be a part-time disciple. That's impossible. You either are or you are not. All right? And if you are a disciple of Jesus, then you're full-time. But what that means is that where you go, where you move, where you live, you carry the presence of a living God. See, you need to understand this. Get hold of this. The street where you live is a better street because you live there. No, that didn't go down well. Okay, we need to understand. The street where you live is a better street because you live there. Because you're a carrier, you're a container of the presence of a living God. And you've got angels looking after you. Well, I have, if you don't, that's your problem. But we have. My neighbours don't realise how safe they are living next to me. They're safe. Because my angels are very generous. Yeah, I'm serious. We need to walk around aware of those things. Instead of walking around hangdog with our chin on our chest, looking like a wet week and a, you know, on a Wednesday, you know, I mean, kind of, oh, how are you doing? I'm right. You'd never think that we were children of the living God, filled with the dynamic of the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, now lives in us day by day. That's the dynamic of the gospel. You were translated, what? From darkness into light, into the kingdom of His dear Son. And we are, Bible says, we are seated where? With Christ in heavenly places. You don't need to apologize. Okay? But the enemy needs to look out. You know, the Bible talks about in Ephesians, it says, we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. He has put all things under His feet. And Grace and I, it was our privilege to go to the Tutankhamun museum in Egypt. It's an amazing thing because the Tutankhamun tomb was the only tomb that had never been broken into, never been pillaged and that sort of thing. So it was a complete history of Egyptian culture and lifestyle, etc., 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 which is very interesting. And it's all on display. And I must say that the coffin is something else. There's three of them, actually. He put one inside, another, the three coffin, all in solid gold. It's impressive. I mean, it is very impressive. But when you go there, you've got, and what they've got is they've got all these rows of sandals, obviously for King Tut's journey. I mean, he had to wear shoes. So they've got all these sandals on display. But on the sandals, on the insoles of the sandals, there are pictures, alright? Pictures of people. And so, and also it's got a throne that he sat on and a footstool, and there are pictures of people on the footstool as well. And our guide said to us, you may wonder why is it that they've got pictures of people on the insoles of the shoes? Yeah. I am. Why would you do that? Because they believed in walking on their enemies. Okay? So they walked on their enemies. Now, get the picture. Jesus said, we are seated with Him in heavenly places, and He has put all things where? Under our feet. Okay? Now, if you're a fan like me, of westerns, I see westerns, but when the Indians beat the cavalry, they would get the cavalry captain, the big honcho, and they'd lay him on the floor, and all the tribe would come and they'd put their foot on the neck of the cavalry officer, which indicated, you are defeated. We have beaten you. Right? So when Paul writes and says, you have put all things under your feet, everybody understood what he meant by that. We've lost it in our culture, but we need to regain the understanding that we are actually today, here and now, if you are born of the Spirit of God, seated with Christ now, today, in heavenly places, and He has put everything under your feet. Feet. That's worth an amen. All right, that's right. So you need to know the position that you move out from. You move out from a position where everything is under your feet. That's the supernatural lifestyle that God is wanting for us to live, to move, and have our experience. The Bible talks about, in Romans 1, it says that the just shall live by faith. You know, if we talk about living by faith, often we talk about the church leaders live by faith. No. The Bible says we all live by faith. Every one of us. And that we need to understand that God is a supernatural God and He works in supernatural ways. And we need to understand when the Word of God declares, He says, this is what He says to each one of us. I would that you may prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. That deserves an amen too. Okay, just keep up with me. Okay. So God is wanting for us to see the supernatural at work in every day of our lives. Whether that's in business, whether that's in your household bills, whatever it is that you're moving, to begin to see that God is a supernatural God. He said, I'll never see my seed begging bread. It's an old story now, but it's true and it's worth telling. I rode at one time a motorcycle, and we were living in these two rooms. So we'd just taken on the church. They weren't paying us anything. And at that time, in fact, they never paid us for 8 years. But that we were living by faith. Okay. Now we had a job and so on, but obviously we had expenses and things like that to do, and all sorts of stuff. And so this one occasion, we had no money. Now when I say we had no money, I mean we had no money. When some people tell me, I remember one man talking to me, he had no money, but he had £500,000 in savings. And I said to him, no, savings are money. He goes, no, I haven't got any money. Yes, you have. It's called savings, money. So the whole, you know, some people are asset rich, I understand that, and cash poor. That doesn't mean to say they're poor. Doesn't mean to say they're asset rich. Okay. There isn't one of us who are really poor here. Not one of us. We all eat, most of us, I think we're going to eat every day. We're all clothed, none of us are naked. We all have a place to rest our head. And a great chunk of the world has none of those things. We are actually very privileged people. We know that. And so God is at work in a supernatural way. And so we had no money. We had a motorcycle, but it had no petrol in it. Now, in a motorcycle, you can tell whether there's petrol in it, all right? You can't in a car, but you can in a motorcycle, because you can shake it and you can hear the petrol sloshing around in the tank. Well, mine, there was no slosh in my tank, all right? And so Grace, we were going to have to go to the mission, as it was then. It was 3 miles away. And so it meant walking or going on a motorcycle. So, you know, I'm getting ready to walk. But Grace goes, says, I'm going to pray. So she, before I could say anything, she's down the stairs. I look out the window and she's laying her hand on the tank of the motorcycle praying. Okay. This is moving in the supernatural. Now, it makes no sense. Supernatural doesn't make sense. Supernatural defies logic. Okay, so she's laying. So she comes up and she says this, Norman, get ready, we're leaving. Now you've got, there's two responses. One is, excuse me, darling, but we have no petrol in the tank and it doesn't work without petrol. The other response is, okay, darling, I put on my gear, put on my crash helmet and walk down by faith to the motorcycle. Which is what I did. Now in those days, we didn't have electric starts. This is a long while ago now. It was an old Triumph Thunderbird, big old motor. And so anyway, hey? Or someone else, or someone said, yeah, Triumph Thunderbird. Ex-policeman's car, motorcycle. So anyway, and you had to kick it over. In those days, so, kicks it over, vroom, vroom. Jumps into life. And so Grace and I drove to the church, and it was Bible study night. So I told him the story. Nobody was interested in my Bible study that night. Not one of them. Peasants, though they are. You know what they were all waiting for, weren't they? They were always going to wait to see if it was going to get us home. You unbelieving lot. Thank you very much. Well, of course, we went outside, kicked it over, and it went. And it went for 3 days with no petrol in the tank. I don't understand that. But if you can turn water into wine, you can do whatever he likes. He's God. I've prayed over a few glasses of water. I haven't seen any miracles yet. He's a God of miracles. He can do it. And then when we got given a pound, you could buy petrol for a pound in those days. I drove the motorcycle up to the petrol pump, and as I got to the pump, it went boom, and it stopped right by the petrol pump. Pound. Is that for the special lot? No, it's for every single one of us. It's called living by faith. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. We had, I could go on with story after story of those things, but I mean, we at one time we had no food. We had no food. We didn't have any money. We didn't have any food. And so, but we set our table out. We set our table out, two plates, knives and forks, set our table out. Sat at our table, bowed our heads. Is that a hint to me to shut up?
No.
Oh, he's looking at his watch there. I'm thinking, hang on.
I'm setting my time.
Oh, right, okay.
No, you've got
enough. Okay, right. So anyway, so we set the table out, and I thought he was here this morning. Yes. And adjusted his clock yet. So we're sitting there, and we set the plate out, all right? Now, I don't know if you ever say grace or give thank you. Now, Grace and I always, always say grace. We always give thanks. Why? Because we've been exposed to poverty. All right? So we actually are grateful that we eat because we've met people who don't eat. And I don't want to ever assume by right that it's my right to eat. That's the grace of God. That's the goodness of God. Right. Don't ever get familiar with what God is doing with you and doing for you. Always be grateful. Always be thankful. Live a life of thankfulness. Because we eat today, we're many are hungry, we're clothed, we're many are naked, etc. And so we bowed our head and said, Lord, thank you. Because you said you'll never see your seed begging bread and you'll feed the hungry. You're kind. You can do it. You're a God of miracles. And sure enough, as we said amen, there was this knock on our door. And it's my landlord, who was Jewish. He never gave anything away. Actually had a big pot of stew. And he said, Dora's cooked too much stew. We don't want to waste it. Would it embarrass you if we gave it to you? Goes, no, not at all. Thank you very much. Gave us some clothes and all. Thank you, Jesus. God is wanting for us to live a life of the supernatural. That wherever we're moving, whether it's in Asda's and we hug somebody. What I've learnt now is, in fact, I reprimand anybody in Tesco's now who doesn't have a name badge on. See, if I haven't got a name badge on, because I can't call them by name. So I say to them, so where's your name badge? I haven't put it on today. Why haven't you got it on? They look at me like, what? I said, because now I don't know your name. What's your name? And my name's whatever it is, you know. Hello, Joseph, how are you? That's a special name. It's all about Joseph's special name. And all of a sudden this person looks, oh, I'm a person. I actually exist to somebody. You'd be surprised. If you just say good morning or good afternoon to somebody who's at a till, you'd be surprised how they look at you. Like, oh, there's somebody who's actually recognized me. It'll change their lives. It can change. Because we don't realize that we are the carriers of something called the presence of God. God really did a number on me one time. Because in church, I remember one Sunday night, I was really rebuking our lot. It was Sunday morning, wasn't it? Grace corrects me. It was Sunday morning. And I always rebuking our lot about, you know, we are the most unloving group of people. That wasn't true, but you know, we're not good with strangers, we don't say hello to people, we stay in our little groups and all this sort of thing, and I'm really giving them all a bit of a rough ride. And then this lady came in. You know, it's always the pastor's job, isn't it? You know, if nobody's turned up to the prayer meeting, he tells all the people who did turn up that they should have turned up to the prayer meeting, didn't they? You know, it's always that kind of thing. So anyway, so I'm going on out all our folks. And this lady comes in, she sits in the back row. And we're worshipping the Lord. And as we're worshipping the Lord, all of a sudden, she screams out and runs out of the building. Our guys go out and she's standing in the middle of Essex Road, trembling from head to toe. Going, are you all right? Yeah, what's wrong? What's wrong? Oh, I just can't cope with the love that's in that place. We don't realize what we've got going for us. Church. I do, on Monday nights now, I do circuit training. I'm the oldest one there by 24 years. Okay? And I do it all. Do it 30 times. That's not just the once, 30 times. Planking, I can do the planking. Oh man, I'll scream when I'm doing the planking, but it's okay. But there's a guy called Ben who comes, and he's a friend of Stu who runs it all, and he's a cycling pal, not Christian. He said, you know, I like coming to that group. You know why? He said, because people are kind. I thought that's a lovely way of putting it, actually, but he comes because people are kind. What we don't realize is that just at that moment when in our circuit training, when we're all gathering together, it's, hi, how you doing? Great. You had a good week? Yes, fine. Wasn't it wonderful yesterday in church? And we're all hugging each other and we're smiling. We're winning each and cheering each other on. But this man who's not part of that, he's going, you guys have got something. There's a kindness here. There's something here. It's called the presence of God. And we don't realize it. The way we meet each other, greet each other, all those kinds of things have to do with the presence of God. A few more stories and then I'll finish it. So we you know, in our block of flats, I say we meet people. And so one of our neighbours who's actually lives in Spain most of the time, but he has a flat that's underneath us, number 4, and he uses that as a base for when he's coming to see his grandkids and things like that. His name was Len. And so, you know, I'd meet Len. Hi, Len. How you doing? Yeah, doing okay, fine. And then one day, how you doing, Len? He said, not so good. I said, what's wrong? He said, I've been diagnosed. He said, I've got prostate cancer. I said, oh, I'm sorry to hear that. He said, yeah, I'm having to have all the injections at the moment and all that sort of stuff, which he thought, yeah, it's not very pleasant. So he's having all the injections. And time went by and I would just ask him, so how you doing? Yeah, I'm doing okay. I'm not doing bad. But he said, you know, you've got this thing inside of you. You can't feel it, but it's working away and it's horrible and, you know, all the usual stuff. And so anyway, we just come. Then one time I met him, which was probably maybe a year later or so. I said, so how you doing? He said, not good. And he was obviously quite down. And I said, so what's wrong? He said, it's aggressive. And I said, oh. And he said, and it doesn't look good. I said, I'm really sorry to hear that. And from then on, he started to go downhill. And it got so bad that he finished up. He had to come over to the UK and finished up in bed. And so this one time, I went down to see him. And so I'm in his front room with his wife and talking away and saying, you know, you've got no quick answers for all that sort of stuff, have you? Other than, Len, I'm really sorry about all of this, you know, and I want you to know I care. So anyway, so we just chatted away. And I said, the big thing is make sure you live at peace. So as we got up to leave, I said, and if there's anything that we can do, you know, just bang on the ceiling, because I'm above him, bang on the ceiling and we'll come down, morning, noon or night, we'll come down. We just care about you, all right? And so I got up to go and I said, so if there's anything we can do, just let us know. And as I got up, he said, you could pray for me. All right? You could pray for me. So I said, I'd be honoured to do that. Can I do that now? He said, yes, please. And so there I was in this flat. He's 83, his wife, holding her hand and holding his hand, sitting on the sofas and speaking peace to this couple. And you're aware all of a sudden what's happening is the kingdom comes in that moment. The peace and the presence of God is released. And I left. Several days later, on a Wednesday, the wife comes upstairs, comes and knocks on our door. Can I talk to you? Yes. She said, I have two things to ask of you. I said, certainly. So I wondered if you would talk to my Len. I said, yeah, what about? So I want to make sure, she said, that he's got peace with God. And she said, I think, has an Anglican background. So could you, and you're the person to do it, because he'll listen to you. See? And they knew I would have been a minister of the church and all that sort of stuff, so he'll listen to you. You've got an opportunity. Talk to him about Make sure he knows the peace of God. So I said, right, I will. And then she said, oh, and I have a second request. I said, what's that? Well, Len and I have talked and we'd like you to conduct the funeral, please. And so it's ever so funny, in Emerald Brook Court, all of a sudden I become the Reverend Norman Barnes. Isn't it strange? I mean, well, people, and they all know I've been a pastor of a church, but they don't kind of, all of a sudden they, because I've been Norman, you know what I mean? And all of a sudden now, it's kind of, are you, can you do funerals? You know, are you, well, actually, it goes with the job, sadly. I mean, I do funerals, I do weddings. They don't kind of put those things together. It's really strange, isn't it, how people think. And so all of a sudden it became, the Reverend Norman Barnes. But there was a few people saying, is he authorised to do funerals? Yes. So anyway, Grace said to me, she said, we want you to go to Rotherham on the Friday. Leave for Rotherham on the Friday.
You missed out that you talked to him.
I've got that in a moment. That's coming next. And so anyway, so we were due to go to Rotherham. And so Grace said to me, I don't think we ought to go. I think we need to cancel. And I'm not good at cancelling things, I have to be honest with you. I'm not very good. I like to, you know, keep to my commitments and things like that. We've got it all geared up, what I was going to say, meet this couple, talk to this church, all that sort of stuff. And Grace says, I think we need to cancel it. And I'm not, I need the grace of God if it interrupts my rhythm. I'm not very good at that sort of thing. I think I'm on the lower end of the spectrum somewhere along the line. I like it all orderly. And so, anyway, I said, let me think about it. Anyway, next day, yeah, you're right. We don't go. We cancel it. So I sent an email, cancelled the whole weekend. Went down the next day. It was on a Thursday. And Len was now in bed. And so I said, Len, can I talk to you? Just chatting away, holding his hand. I mean, these are precious moments, aren't they? You've got a man who's... He's 83 years old, who really is just somebody I meet in the flat, who you would call a friend. But there's something quite close when you're holding somebody's hand as a man to a man and holding his hand, and you're aware that of his incredible vulnerability at that moment in time because he's dying and he knows it. You know, you can communicate a lot sometimes just by holding somebody's hand. So I said to Len, are you reconciled to everybody? And there's no outstanding agenda. He goes, no outstanding agenda. I said, Len, can I ask you another question? Do you have peace with God? He goes, I have peace with God and I'm ready. I thought, well, I can't say any more than that. That's it. Let me pray for you. And I prayed for him. He died the next day. But in that moment, what happens is, presence comes. Right? It's the supernatural of God. So I took the funeral. And you know, that's another privilege you have if you're a minister. The privilege you got is you can do all kinds of things that most people wouldn't do. Like you can go up and hug all the men. And they'll let you because you're the vicar. You're able to do it. So I'm putting my arms around crying men. One grandson sobbing his heart out. It's okay. Don't worry. Big boys do cry. It's okay to cry. You cry, you'll laugh, you'll cry. That's what it's all about. And so you're able to bring comfort. Why? Because you walk in the presence of God. Okay. So next time you're at Tesco's or Asda or wherever else it is that you shop, have a look for the badge name and say good morning to the person and call them by name. And watch the reaction. Just see. Say good morning to your neighbor. This has been part of my life because I come from a family from the north of England. My family are all from County Durham. I'm first generation southerner. So, you know, if you're from the north, everybody says good morning and good afternoon to everybody, you know, regardless. That's part of the culture. Of course, down in the south, they're a bit more snobby. They don't do all of that. And so, I don't know what you've got to be snobby about. I lived in Dagenham, for goodness sakes. What's that about? You know what I mean? And so, anyway, but when I left school and I worked, I used to go, go to Chapel Hill Station, and every morning I would say good morning to some people. Some people, it took me 3 years for them to respond and say good morning back. But I never gave in. I wasn't going to give in. I thought, I'm not giving in. I'm going to get you to say good morning to me one way or another. Right? So I say good morning to everybody. But when I got married and I left, you know what happened? All these people kept stopping my mum saying, we really miss Norman coming past in the morning and saying good morning. You can change somebody's life. And if I don't stop now, my wife is going to really get uptight. She's already looked at her watch. She's looked at her watch 5 times already. Her next step is she starts going. Which means stop. I hope we've captured something this morning of who we are in Christ and what we possess as the children of God in the power of the Holy Spirit, to live free from the power of sin, to live in forgiveness, to live by the grace of God, to live with thankfulness, to be a people who make a difference where we are, where we work, to bring the peace of God, to be carriers of the presence of God. What an incredible privilege is ours, to be carriers of the presence of God. To be given to hospitality. You know, people go, we had people in our church. One person, you know, I hope people all take their shoes off because we've got a new carpet. And they kind of go, let me ask you a question. Have you got the carpet or has the carpet got you? Be careful. Be careful how you handle your possessions. Hold them lightly. Because the Lord can give and the Lord can take away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But to know this, that you have to live in the presence of God and to know the peace of God ruling and reigning in your home. I will tell one more story. My wife will really drive me mad. This is your time. For a number of years, we had a young girl living with us called Susan. Subsequently, she got married, had 2 children who called us grandma and granddad, and now they've got children, so we've got 3 great-grandchildren as well, which is rather lovely and honourable. But Susan came from a dysfunctional family. Mum and dad had been divorced, and so stepdad, and she never got on with stepdad. And she came and lived with us for 3 years. And about 2 o'clock in the morning, one morning, I was woken up with Grace crying. Grace was crying. And so I said, why are you crying? Susan said this, and it was hurtful, as often teenagers do. They say hurtful things, don't they? They have a way. They know how to touch the button. And she knew how to touch the button, and she touched the button for Grace, and then she was upset. And so immediately, I'm out of bed, and I put my dressing gown on, and Sue's bedroom was next door to ours. So Grace said, where are you going? I said, I'm going to get Sue. So it's 2 o'clock in the morning. I said, I don't care what time it is. So went in the bedroom, knocked on her door. She's sound asleep. Susan, wake up. And she was emerging. She could really have been my physical daughter. I mean, she's so much like me. She emerges in the morning. You know, Grace wakes up. She's one of these ungodly people who's bright in the mornings. I emerge. Have I got any fellow people here, mergers? Any? Are you? Yes, I'm glad that some of you identify me with emerge. We're emergers. These people who wake up, they're all bright and bushy-tailed, and oh Lord, it's ungodly. You know, Grace is going, so what are we doing? This is Monday. What are we doing on Friday? I'm going, trying to work out what I'm doing the next half hour, darling. I'm at Friday. I'm emerging. And so anyway, so I wake up, I said, all right, so lounge, 10 minutes. This is 2 o'clock in the morning, so in all fairness, so go out of bed, in the lounge. This is 2 in the morning, Grace and me. So I said, now then, Sue, I don't know what's happening here. What I do know is I've been woken up because Grace is crying. And Grace is crying over something you said. And so as you seem to be the reason why she's crying, and I can't sleep and she's not sleeping, I don't see why you should be sleeping. Okay. So we need to get it sorted out now. Right? We need to get this sorted out now. Bible talks about don't ever let the sun go down on your wrath. There was no way I was going to wait until the morning to try and sort this out. So I value the peace of God above everything else. Let the peace of God rule and reign. Mind you, at 2 o'clock in the morning, it's surprising how quickly you can sort out issues when you all want to go back to bed. And of course we sorted it out. In a few moments it was sorted and settled. And we all went back to sleep. Why am I telling you a story? Because there's a presence in your home. Don't do things that spoil it. Don't allow atmospheres that change it. Don't allow unreconciled issues to hinder it. Don't allow war in your home. Bring about reconciliation and peace and know the continual presence of a living God who can bring about change. Let's pray. So Father, we thank you this morning. You haven't just rescued us, you've empowered us by your Spirit. Translated us, moved us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. And thank you that we're seated with you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we're the carriers of the presence of a God who said, let there be light, and there was light. Who brought everything into being by the word of his mouth. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that in our individual life, in our family life, in our home, we speak the presence and the peace of God. Where we move, wherever we go, where we spend our days, whether that is in our home, whether it's at work or at school or whatever it may be, Lord Jesus, that the fragrance of Jesus will be only upon us and emanate from us, that people's lives may be changed and transformed by the supernatural power of God. And so, Lord Jesus, we pray that you will write these things on our hearts. Let your kingdom come and let your will be done, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.